is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Nailed It, Guardian FM 96.9. My name is Leonard Sands.
And I am Debbie Deal.
And welcome to another exciting episode where we talk about construction and everything in between. And of course, my opening salvo. I came here a little bit under my usual energy.
Yes, you normally come with a lot of zest. The zest was missing.
No, it's missing today because sometimes I've heard it all the time that, you know, with great abilities or however they say it, comes great responsibilities. Mm-hmm. You know, great power comes great responsibilities, however you want to say it. I want to add to that. With great understanding and knowledge comes incredible burdens. The saying that ignorance is bliss is the truest statement I think ever expressed by man.
It's true.
Ignorance is absolutely bliss. If you do not understand, do not know, do not appreciate, that's a beautiful place to be.
You can just sleep at night without a worry.
And so I say that because it goes back to the conversation we were having at the Contractors Association luncheon yesterday. Mm-hmm. And as I try to explain the realities that we've faced for the past last really 30 years of advancing the Construction Contractors Act. And then we got it advanced. And then we've been, you know, wrangling the government and prodding them and begging them and asking them to appoint a board so the act can take effect and do the things you wanted to do. But as we always have this conversation, Debbie, if we always have this conversation, it's really amazing to me how, no matter if we talk to some contractors, lawyers, doctors, accountants, medical professionals, it doesn't matter who, they seem to get it, but don't get it, the magnitude of the problem. And with all things, Debbie, if your roof is leaking and you have an expensive Persian rug, you explaining to someone that I need to get my roof fixed, and they're like, yeah, you probably could get it fixed, but you could leave it. Because they don't understand the magnitude of the problem. Mm-hmm. And so when the Bahamian Contractors Association talk about the huge issue that exists because we don't have a regulated industry with licensed professionals, and we convey that to the banks, and we convey that to the insurance companies, and we convey that to the lawyers, and we convey that to the politicians, and they, like the person who say, yeah, we could deal with that at some other time, I firmly believe it's because they don't appreciate the magnitude of the risk and the effect of it. So off air, I explained to you about a situation with a friend of mine who's dealing with a fine finance mortgage, and he's all in some $75,000, and they haven't even committed the first payment to, of his own money, they haven't committed the first payment. But I juxtapositioned that to one of the ladies who was at the meeting, had a wonderful time, learned so much. She's like, Mr. Sands, do you remember me? I say, I can't say I do, but remember. She said, yeah, we spoke many, many times. I was the person who called you every day from this, from Canada, where I live and I work, with my house here inside Coral Heights, which someone renovated for me to rent, which was an absolute disaster. And I went to the attorneys. I went to my MP. I went to all these persons. I give her all kinds of scenarios for a remedy. She said, yeah, I'm that individual. And so because people don't interface with the problem, they can't appreciate how many people are affected by, and I say this, and I say this very honestly, I understand why their issues exist, because we see it. We see it every day. We see the guy who we believe intends to do well, but he hasn't been trained to. And no matter how well-intentioned he is, Debbie, if he never learned how to hang a door properly, him having all the intention to hang a door properly is not going to change the fact that that door will not be hung properly.
And if you go to his house and you see that the crown molding is crooked as all get out,
what, terrible, or botched
and
up.
And it's not put together at the corners properly.
It's the best
properly,
that he can do.
But that's what he believes is right.
And that's what he believes is right.
And he would tell the person that he's working for that that's correct.
That's correct.
Right? I think what we have to do, we had a great meeting yesterday at the luncheon, and I really believe that what we need to do with the banks and the insurance companies is we need to actually send them the Contractors Construction Act.
Act, yeah, probably.
We need to actually point out the things in that, we highlight them and send it through, send them a letter and say, send them a letter, not the insurance companies, but the insurance
commission,
whatever, and then set up, say we need to actually come in and see you.
Yeah, let's
and the same thing with the banks, because they don't, I don't think they realize or understand that we're not licensed, and I don't think they realize and understand how much it's going to cost them.
Them, because we're not.
Right. And if they're the ones that are giving the money to all the other people that are, I think we need to just do that, because it's not working the way we're doing it.
No.
So we have to, you know, sometimes you just have to try things differently.
Yeah. And I believe that if we try to make them understand it from that point of view, maybe we become more successful at it.
I'm thinking. Because, you know, it's kind of like a marriage. Like, you know, you have a problem in your marriage and you try to fix it one way, that doesn't work. Well, you just keep trying until you get it right,
yeah,
right?
Fix another way.
Yeah, and we have to do it. Because it's a relationship is a relationship, whether it's with a bank, insurance company, or whether it's a marriage, right? Yeah.
So in that, I think what is so dynamic about it, right, is this. Okay. The real challenge exists is in the, like I said yesterday at the luncheon, the presumption that because someone possesses a business license for construction, that they know how to build. That presumption is the most dangerous presumption that could exist. Could you imagine, Debbie, let me ask you a question. Now, I know you can do it. You can do it. I cannot. If I were to somehow present you with a pilot's license and tell you I have a Cessna outside, let me take you over to Bimini quickly. Would you put your life into my hands?
Well, would you
do it?
We did that for years when we were going, you know, working in all the islands. We would just go with persons that we knew that flew, that we believed that they had a license. We believed that they did.
That's
and then
scary.
My husband got a license, and then we got our own plane. But it wasn't until we were in the plane crash
that I realized,
you know what? It was our plane, but it was the magnetos that what happened. It didn't switch over. You realize how important it is to make sure that we had the life raft in the middle of the front seat, because I would always say to the people when we flew with somebody else, the life raft. Where is it? It's in the luggage department. Luggage I said, hold, yes. How the heck are you going to get out of the luggage? I got to get out of the plane in the air to unlock the luggage compartment to get the flying with your vests on and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you
right?
don't even think about it because you're so comfortable doing things that may be very dangerous.
Right.
And that's where we are with the construction industry.
Very.
And I said yesterday, and I say this very, very soberly, mm-hmm. because we are crafty enough, and I mean this in a positive way, to manage to get the composition of concrete right, mm-hmm. we don't have buildings that collapse here. Right. We're very, very crafty enough to figure that out. Mm-hmm. Now, that's why we don't have catastrophic failures of buildings. And so we've gotten past that. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, that's not the biggest risk we have. Mm-hmm. The biggest risk we have is that if someone looks at your drawings and they say, I think I could do it for $150,000. And then someone who's really experienced is looking and say, that's really a $300,000 build. Mm-hmm. You go with the guy who's $150,000. And I often say this, you go with the guy who's lower because it seems good to you. Good and unrealistic is what litters this community with uncompleted structures from the east to the west.
Well, that's happened to me in the past, and then they've come back.
That's the reality.
And then they've come back to me to finish the house, and I go, "You must be kidding."
That's the reality, Debbie. That's the reality. So I would prefer, and I use this analogy all the time. I haven't been on Tireflex Star Motors. I don't want to give them a plug, but been on the Mercedes lot. Because I know I can't afford a Mercedes. Mm-hmm. I don't go on the lot thinking I could take my Honda money and get a Mercedes. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest challenge.
And you don't
want to
disappoint yourself, right?
You know you're going to disappoint yourself. Because when they tell you it starts with one, and you know it's hundreds of thousands, it's not the same thing as $30,000 for a car.
Right.
So, but you'd go to your architect and go to your designers, and you go and get this 8,000 square foot beautiful, beautiful work of art called a house. Mm-hmm. And then you go ahead and say, yeah, Debbie, I'd really like you to do this, and I got $300,000. Mm-hmm. When can you start? Mm-hmm. So what? When can you start the driveway? I mean, what are we talking about? And so all of us are part of the challenge. All of us are part of the problem. And mm-hmm. I think, and tell industry professionals, say no more than they say yes, mm-hmm. we won't fix it. And I'm saying this to the contractors out there. There is more value in you saying no to a project that you know from the start won't be able to be completed mm-hmm. than to take it on, believing against the numbers that you can do it, mm-hmm. only to find the reality is you were wrong, but right from the beginning, because you know it couldn't happen, but you took it on anyway. It does more damage to the industry.
And I also want contractors, to understand that if you can't get the first mobilization payment, right? And this is, I don't want to build the house in Coral Harbor. I have a house. I don't want a house. I'm not building that for me.
For me.
So I'm not going to use my money to start that house, right? But if you can't get money in the beginning when they're excited, can you imagine if you're going to get the last one?
There's not
a prayer you're getting that.
You're not going to get it.
No.
I think it's probably strange for persons to hear us talk this way, but if you're in the space as a business professional, mm-hmm. we've all been left holding the bag. It's a reality.
Yeah. You want to
all contractors.
When you start out, you want to do
everything.
Job. You're eager and excited. But then after you get burnt a couple of times, you realize, the brakes are screeching right now.
Yeah.
They're screeching. Yeah. And I'm going to pick and choose what I'm going to do. So, and it's hard to get to that point.
I was on a build the other day, and I looked at some concrete work. And I'm like, I watched it once it was going down. I'm like, first of all,
contractors probably adding water to the concrete.
No, so. they won't do that.
Oh, okay.
It's knowledge, skill, and experience is not something that you think about unless you see it done incorrectly. Then, let's say, and all the individuals there with, either Bahamians of Asian descent, let's assume they persons who should be here, right? And I know they believe that what they're doing is correct, right? And because that's what the industry is full of at this point in time, right?
Because they've never been taught. They've been self-taught, or they've watched somebody.
I'm looking at them, right, to squeeze the concrete, you know, 3,000 PSI concrete, and I'm telling them, you know, you guys got about 15 minutes to get this all down.
Right.
And rot it out, and then start to dry work this. Because after that, this thing is this.
It's dead.
It gets hard without you doing anything. It's going to not move.
Right.
And then I say, no, you really don't understand. You're like a quarter through the 70-foot run. You got to pick up the space, dude. Because when you go back to that and you think you work that, that's not going to move. So anyhow, the lack of knowledge, you don't know. So. Yeah. When we talk about it all the time, about contractor education, about you need to understand what do you believe the contractor knows? And this is where we talk about the BCA's huge challenge. Mm-hmm. How do you tell clients and get them to understand in this present regime, you have to have somebody build your house. Status quo remaining, you're going to use a contractor for all intents and purposes, right? Mm-hmm. You got to know what they know.
Nobody saw you put your fingers up and make...
And quotations, yeah. But you got to know what they know. You got to understand what they know because you assuming they know is where you lose the whole deal.
It's the same one that does it. And when they're screeding it, they screed off the top water, which is what you actually need to actually seal that concrete after it's poured.
But it's a process. And so the tamping. If you're tamping it, they were just rotting it straight. That's all they did. Yeah. Started on it, they just rotted straight. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so see, you know what it looks like? It looks like you see the pre-gravel with all lines through it because all they did is drop the rod down and rod it, pulled it towards them. Went further down and pulled. Public, I want you all to understand this. We are the professionals in here. And when we tell you, you guys don't even know how bad it is. You think you know. We are shocked so bad of the things we see and be like, I cannot believe someone's actually doing this. Mm-hmm. But you guys, you won't even understand how bad it is because you don't have the level of knowledge to know how bad things are.
Right.
Because when you see it, you don't know. So you think, okay, that's probably what you do. Mm-hmm. No, we're looking at it like, cannot believe this is terrible. You know, it sounds interesting. I was in someone's house, and every single one, this is someone's house now. This is why I often push back at clients when they think, oh, I know construction. I could go there and assist in, you don't know a thing. I walked in someone's house in a gated community. Mm-hmm. You know, our beautiful 6-panel doors we sell everywhere around here.
Yeah.
Every single door in the house is hung upside down.
I've seen that before with the 2 panels at the bottom.
And you know who didn't know all the doors upside down?
The client.
The client. I walk in. The first thing came up. I said, you're not kidding me. Tell me this is a one-off. Walk through the front.
It's the same with the French doors.
I'm like, oh my. Every single door is upside down. And they've been living there for 2 years, oblivious, happy. Yes, look at my wonderful home with the doors upside down.
It's like the French doors, too. They have the small panel at the top and the bottom is the bigger one, and they have it flipped upside down.
So your best thing is do your research, and find people that have a reputation for doing good work, and then still talk to them. Mm-hmm. Because this assumption you have to get rid of this assumption. Mm-hmm. Get this assumption out of your mind. You can't assume, because this is a space where there's no physical training. Someone could have experience, and that's what you want. And they've learned, they tried, they failed, they figured some things out. That's what you want. Because the absence of that, how do they gain the knowledge?
Right.
How do they gain the knowledge? So we're impressing upon homeowners. We're impressing upon persons who want to build. We're impressing upon you. Don't take it for granted that someone has a business license for construction. There's no vetting agency. The business license department do not ask a contractor who requests a business license for construction to prove an ability.
No, the only thing that they ask with a business license is if you ask for a name and somebody else already has it, whatever, whether it's A and B, whether it's a candy company and their builders, they don't care. No. They just, the only thing is you can't have a name that somebody else has. That's the only thing right. that they'll, and then they want their $150.
And they want the $150.
And that's all they want.
And I think saying it like that makes it more sober. Could you imagine, let's do the same thing if it was for medicine. Could you imagine? No. I could become a medical practitioner mm-hmm. by making an application. I want to open Leonard Sands Medical Offices.
Right.
Servicing the whole Bahamas, and mm-hmm. we do open heart surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And to get my business license, mm-hmm. I only need to fill out the application form and pay the prescribed fee.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds preposterous, doesn't it?
Right, but that's what the people...
It's absurd, doesn't it?
That's what people are doing.
But that's what people are doing in construction.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is, which is so alarming to me, that doesn't raise the eyebrow of everyone. Like the public, we said it yesterday, the public should be screaming like, hey, what do you mean? What do you mean? This is it?
Mm-hmm.
The public, not us.
Right.
We're trying to get y'all to understand. You guys should be screaming, hey, this is the Bahamas 52 years later. And you're telling me someone could just ask, fill out an application form, get a business license, and then go to the bank to say, hey, add me to your list, guys. I want to build some people houses. That's wild.
It's totally wild.
But that's what we've been dealing with since 1973 and before that. So mm-hmm. the importance of legislation is so when you recognize the gaps inside your society, you address it. In 2016 and 10 years prior, the Bahamian Contractors Association sought to address it, which we did, which was the legislation that mm-hmm. was passed by the House of Assembly. That was the addressing. That was the solution.
Right.
What further just is amazing to me is that the solution has not been activated. Why? Right. Why when this huge issue has been uncovered, you created a solution, but you don't want to apply. It's almost like this. You know, you get grandkids, love them daily. They go to play baseball. They slid. They got a cut. You got the first aid kit right there. Debbie tells the grandkid, just run back out there and go back in the pitch. It'll wear off. He comes back trying his best. Oh, it's really hurting now, Grimes. Can you please put some ointment on it? Nah, just, let's go back out there. You got another swing in you. That's what we're doing here.
That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing here. So, I don't know. Maybe that's my perspective. What do you think, Debbie? What do you think?
No, I think that because... Even though we talk, it seems to the complaints mostly come from the contractors, from us, not the other contractors that don't really know what they're doing, right? The complaints are not going to government or anywhere else from clients, from people that are building.
They come to us.
Yeah, they come to us, right? And they want us to sort it out, which we will be more than happy to sort it out.
But I mean,
it would be nice if you just listened in the beginning. You know, it's rather than waiting until you have a mess and then coming to us, right? We're not sitting here doing this just because we just want to hear ourselves talk, right? We're doing this because we have gone through these experiences. We've had people work with us or people we've worked with mm-hmm. that we've seen horrible things happen. And we're doing this to try to make sure it doesn't happen anymore so that you don't have to build, you shouldn't have to build your house twice. And sometimes you do things and they're so bad that you have to take them out and redo it. You should, that's a brand new, that would be, again, like I talk, like the shirt that you mm-hmm. have on. Can you imagine that shirt with the collar? It's does not on right. The buttons aren't on. It's sewn with a different color thread. You know, it's.
Why would I want to buy that shirt?
Why would I want to buy
a shirt?
Yes. Yeah. You want to, then you'd have to take it to a tailor and have mm-hmm. somebody fix it for you? No, you already bought the thing at the store. That's basically what we're explaining about. We're explaining it in something that is the largest expense that you will ever do.
Because
you could have a $200,000 mortgage, and that sucker is going to cost you $600,000 or $800,000 by the time you pay it over 35 years. Do the math, right? it's biggest expense ever, and you're prepared to let somebody do it who isn't going to do it properly. And when you get to a stage when you see something that isn't done right, you still continue on. You have to take some kind of,
but
I don't know.
But Debbie, you have to know. I mean, again, this is what we were talking about off mm-hmm. air about. You know, you talk about the homes with lost roofs inside Dorian because they didn't have the hurricane clips. Come on, you're asking someone to put the onus on themselves to ensure that they put the hurricane clips on. You do it because you know, Debbie, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't expect someone who's a doctor. They've been at their practice all day. Someone's building their house. Oh, let me go clamber on the ladder and make sure the guy puts on the hurricane clip. Come on, you
but
can't do that.
Prior to, let's say 2000, prior to that, when there was not these home shows that were on, right? Since then, there's been Bob Vila, and there's been
and a host of
changing houses, or what's it called? Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's called. But there's all of these shows that you can actually watch, and they go through everything.
You have your phone.
You have YouTube. You can go on YouTube and ask YouTube anything. You could ask Google anything, and you can get an answer. You could ask for drawings. You can ask for how-tos. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're telling you something that we're the only ones that have this information. You could, because back in the day, you had to have an encyclopedia. You would have to go to a library. It was a hot mess when we first started building because we didn't have all of this. But you actually have this information. Yeah. So, you know, if you were going to, I'm trying to think of something. Okay, if you were going to go on a vacation, let's say you were going to go on a cruise, right? You would investigate the cruise company, what the package is, where the cruise ships are going, how long it's going to take. You know, have these cruise liners ever had any incidents before? You'd go into all of that right? But you're not going to do that with a house? You're not going to investigate? You know what I'm saying?
And that's part of it. Mm-hmm. But I've seen the biggest fault on the client side is the client somehow believe they are smarter than everyone else in the room about something they know very little about.
Yeah.
And I deal with it quite frequently, where they may be a doctor or a lawyer was not, and somehow they think their medical degree had prepared them to build a 5,500 square foot house. I don't know where. How that comes about is something that's transferable. Cutting somebody open to figuring out how much steel goes inside your belt beam, I don't know. But that's what they think.
Yeah.
So they're in their process trying to dictate, trying to tell you, oh, no, I don't want, you know, that beam, can we just put it over there? They want to just redesign. And I'm like, yeah, you kind of can't do that. What do you mean I can't do that? That's very simple.
Well, a licensed engineer has already done the drawing to say that it has to be there. And the licensed architect hired the licensed engineer to get the engineer drawings for this house for the unlicensed builder to build.
And then the unlicensed builder and the unlicensed client who's in a different space altogether.
Because I've met people.
That over here. I don't like to call them in the middle of this wall. Yeah, kind of holds up the wall, bro. Want to leave that there.
I've met people who, when they start talking to you, they say, well, you know, I have a friend who's an architect, and, you know, we've had many conversations and all this, so I think they think maybe because they've had a friend that's done this,
that means that they're...
Yes,
they
learn something. But you know, we all learn something every day in our life. We learn something, but do we learn enough
to do
something where your family is going to have to live in, and it has to be safe? And you know,
let's put it like this.
Yeah,
I use this analogy all the time. All of us do general construction for the most part, and we could be as good as we can be in general construction. You know who would never be better than? The guy who does one thing all the time to make his money. You could be good at everything a little bit.
Yeah.
But the guy, let's say the guy is a painter. You could do painting and drywall and carpentry. And you could probably do it. You'd never be better than the guy who only paints.
Who only paints.
Because he spends his entire day doing one thing. And the natural inclination of one thing, you eventually do it well. You do that one thing long enough, you can do it well.
Because you pick up hints from some other place, or you're watching somebody else do a job or something like that. But you know, the reason that we don't have that many people that do that is
because
with the construction industry, you know, there's not always enough jobs. And it's like a 5 years up and then five years down.
And
you need to make sure that you have money to eat and pay your bills.
And pay your bills.
All the time, mm-hmm. not just on occasion.
Not just on occasion.
You know, that's why some people were fishermen, and then they were taxi drivers, and then they were contractors, mm-hmm. right? You know, we've progressed from that a lot mm-hmm. over the last 30 years, but we still have a little bit of that mindset.
And that's okay. But I think once you start to deliver and offer services, mm-hmm. you have to be proficient at those services. And I think that's where the honesty comes out in construction. But more than that, forget the honesty. I think people need to understand, if you can't tell me how this costs what it costs, you probably shouldn't bother with it. If you're just looking at a piece of paper, I could do that for $100,000. Don't bother with it. Mm-mm. If you can't sit down and break down the cost and mm-hmm. determine and arrive at, mm-hmm. don't bother with it.
Right.
And that's part of the issue. We have persons who, if they've never been trained in estimating, how do they estimate? Okay, let's be honest. Okay, if you've never taken an estimating class, you never did estimating, you never learned estimating, how do you estimate?
They'll ask somebody, how much does it cost to build a square foot? And I tell somebody, I can't tell you because I have no idea. I haven't seen the plans. I don't know the materials you're using. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you're building. I don't know if it's two-story, single-story. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you any of that kind of stuff until I break that plan down mm-hmm. to from the, right, the first nail all the way through, mm-hmm. right? But they think that they could actually do it by saying, okay, well, my friend said I could build this for $85 a square foot. So you multiply it, you think, okay, well, there's my $100,000, mm-hmm. right? But then they come later on to find out that the contractor walks off because he realizes that he can't do it.
He can't do it for them.
And because he's not licensed, what are you going to do?
And the bigger mm-hmm. part of it is that, okay, construction and contracting is one ability. Mm-hmm. Business management is the other ability
yes.
that they don't teach.
No.
I often tell people, okay, when you get, and we said it before in the show, if you have a $100,000 contract financed through a bank, you don't have $100,000. You don't have $100,000. Mm-hmm. Essentially, I want everyone to hear me, essentially this is what you have. Firstly, they're going to hold 10% as a final payment. Mm-hmm. You get the final payment when, Debbie? After you complete it.
And like maybe 3 months later or something ridiculous like that.
Something like
government
that, right?
jobs are a year okay. or something.
But at least 3 months after mm-hmm. you complete it.
Right.
That 10%. 10% of the 100,000 is 90,000.
Right.
So you got to start off knowing you have 90,000
to build
something
that house.
For 100,000. Mm-hmm. Secondly, owed it 100,000. I hope VAT's calculated in it. Mm-hmm. You owe the government. Mm-hmm. 10% of that. Mm-hmm. That? It's another 10,000.
Right.
You have 80,000. Mm-hmm. To build something, a labor and materials that right. costs $100,000,
right.
and then business license.
Mm-hmm. So you
on
actually
the course
have
of the year.
So you actually have to put some of your own money into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now let's say even business license about 2%. Mm-hmm. So you got 22% of it is out that won't touch your hand mm-hmm. to build something for $100,000
right.
full, and then you get paid, and you hopefully out of the payment you get, that money is going to still go back to two people. Out of the final money, mm-hmm. you're going to get tax, so you got to pay the 10% coming out while you're billing, so you don't have to worry about the VAT part.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the what's the first 10? I said again.
Oh, the 10% they're holding. They're holding the 10%.
Yeah, they're holding 10%.
The retention.
That's the part you can get. That's your profit.
Right.
That's the only part you can get. The other 10, well, the VAT 10, that goes out.
Well, if you've done
business
it right,
business license 2%, 2.5%.
If you've done
that's
it,
coming out. That's coming out of your 10 too.
If you've done it right, that's your profit. If you haven't, it's going to help pay off the overdraft that you lost money at, and you have
and
to.
And was not. So, I say this all the time. If something costs $100,000, mm-hmm. your estimate has to at least be $110,000 to $112,000.
Because you got to cover all those.
You got to get it finished first,
right?
And if you need listen to it carefully. If you need 100 to finish, but you only have 90. You can't finish.
No.
Because you only have 90. Mm-hmm. So you need to have 110. So if they hold 10, you have 100 to finish.
Yeah.
See that? Unless you would have been taught
that. And I don't think anybody understands.
As a builder who just starts yesterday.
Yeah,
you wouldn't know that.
And I don't think anybody understands that part of the construction business either.
Because it's business.
Right? Yes. Because it's not just building the house. It's being able to do the quote properly.
That's
it's being
it.
Able to manage it. Being able to make sure that none of the persons there are wasting any of the money that they're quoting properly.
Let me even break it more home. Let's break it down. Let's mm-hmm. go down even further. Okay. Let's take a home at $200,000. Keep the numbers easy and some new people relate to. Okay. The banks give you 10% of $200,000 to do the foundation, right? let's say they do, then they give you an advance and they give you a front. Watch. You got how much?
20 grand.
20,000. Let's mm-hmm. say the foundation costs 20 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. The next stage now is you got walls. That costs 40 grand. But how much money do you have now?
But they're not giving you any money to do that.
No, you have none.
You only have you don't even have 20.
You don't have 20.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You spent the 20 to get the floor poured.
You got to figure out how to do
now
it.
Now you have none.
Right. So that's why that's when you end up getting yourself into
a financial arrangement outside of that bank because you now need to.
So you need to have an arrangement with each of the building supply companies and the concrete company and all that kind of stuff. And I don't like
that. That's the part of it where people get so excited. And I hear the contractors all day. They get so excited, Debbie. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got this $500,000 house to build. Oh, and I'm smiling. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what happens? And I had a conversation with the quantity severe when I turned down a job over $1.4 million. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, let's walk through this. Let me tell you something. First stage, mm-hmm. at that point, was $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, you give me $150,000, floor is
mm-hmm.
good. The next stage was about $180,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him straight, see that? You gave me it. I spent it at the floor. You banks me on completion. Now, I need to spend $180,000. I'm going to ask you one question. Where's somebody going to come from?
Right.
I'm waiting.
Hopefully the suppliers.
You know what his response says?
What?
Well, you can get it back. So
you're putting in your own money.
Putting my own $180,000 mm-hmm. in, the banks give me it back.
Either that or you're putting in one of the suppliers' money to do it because you're going to have an account with them and pray to God that you get the money
so you can settle that bill.
So you can settle the bill.
So, again, we're saying this so laboriously. In the airshot of people, so persons could understand. The contractors are not out here making boatloads of money and living the lifestyle of the rich and famous.
No.
They're managing significant risk.
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, I tell persons before, as my personal position, do not take on any contract unless you have at least $30,000 of your own money to bridge something.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that you have to do the work good enough to get paid out because all of a sudden you bridge it
mm-hmm.
and the client decides not to pay you or walk away from it and then you've got to fight them in court.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the financing model is set up, you can't do a project without having some capital because the financial model, mm-hmm. which we used 20 years ago, Debbie, mm-hmm. allowed us to do this.
Right.
Okay, because of how I mentioned how financing works, here's what I do. The first stage where I need 10% to complete it, I don't ask for 10. What am I asking
15,
for?
15, at least.
25.
Mm-hmm.
Because the second stage, mm-hmm. what I need to be able to build and then complete at the end, mm-hmm. I need to have the capital to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always did my own payment schedules.
I always
did them.
Debbie,
because I knew what I needed. And there was,
Debbie, you said the key thing right now. You're the builder.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you needed.
Right.
And I had this conversation with an appraiser. And I said, you know what? You should try build it with the same appraisal
mm-hmm.
which you're giving me. I say, that can't work. I'm telling you it can't work. You're telling me, well, I'm uncomfortable giving you this amount of percentage and that. I said, well, tell you what, let's do this. And I walked with it. You go build it. I can tell you what's going to happen at stage two. You're going to cry because you're going to be out 100 and something thousand and trying to figure out, well, how am I going to figure out this next stage to get paid because the banks pay on completion. You're going to have to come out of pocket $189,000. Now I'm asking them, do you think it's right for me to do so? I'm a businessman. If I lend you money, I want interest on it. Yeah. I'll finance your job too. Mm-hmm. I want the same arrangement at the bank.
Yeah.
I want 14% or so. If you're going to use my money. So mm-hmm. we got to look at this soberly, and I want contractors who are listening to this understand that this is all for the education of everyone out there.
Right.
Don't take on these projects without understanding how the financial model of this works. How are you going to get paid? How you can pay your creditors. And that has to be considered before you start the job. Because mm-hmm. this is real life. This is real money.
It's real money. I guess we have to go to break. And when we come back, we could talk about our amazing sponsors.
Absolutely.
Okay.
See everyone after the break.
Yeah.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at Storm Frame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and energy limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
But a sickness, wall, and crack, and they just build a house.
Pay now, pay more later.
Your wall crack, oh, because I rot in steel.
I guarantee a fiber steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel pussy get protection from nasty men. But the sand that they use of salt and lead. And then over time, you start to rotten. And just like a flower wall crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527 or visit our Facebook and IG page at our development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and a crack of water. Call now.
No steel, no big deal.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk. All day.
And we are back. Nailed it on Guardian 96.9. And Debbie, you want to go into our
wonderful sponsors? This is the time when we start to mention our sponsors, because like we said before, this is the BCA. This is not Leonard and Debbie.
No, it's not.
We are just speaking on behalf of the BCA, and it's a nonprofit. So we have these sponsors who listen to us and say, we would like to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And we're so grateful and thankful for that, because this show has... When we started in September, we had no idea how it was going to work.
No idea at
all. Honestly, we are so blessed. So these are the sponsors that we have this week. We have ARM Caribbean, CBS Bahamas, ART Development, Insurance Management, Veritas, The Paint Place, Tresco, Kalina Insurance, and Sebastian Alliance Group. Thank you so much,
yes,
each and every
you.
One of you, for having the confidence in us to actually help us continue this show and help people.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why they partnered with us is that they, if you listen and look at the companies there, you got insurance, mm-hmm. you got mechanical, mm-hmm. you got some steel or composite steel material. You got people in the building space.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You got Trust Roofs.
Veritas, which
you got
is
Veritas, cost consultants. Education. Yeah, mm-hmm. and education, cost mm-hmm. consultants and education. Right. And two insurance companies, you'll be thankful for that.
Paint Place
and
Trusco.
Paint Place, who mm-hmm. get all your coverings and protection coatings. Right. So we they are all members of the association to start with. But secondly, they all believe that the show is beneficial to the entire Bahamas, and that's why they support the show. That's why they sponsor it and they want it on the air. Mm-hmm. So like Debbie said, you know, it was an idea we had. We said, let's try it. And we were very nervous, but it has surprised us and how it's been received by ADA membership and the general public. So very mm-hmm. thankful for that. Mm-hmm. And so as we continue to have this conversation, we want the public to join in this conversation. And the lines are open, and here's the numbers for you. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And if you're calling from the Family Islands, is 242-300-5720. And we have a caller on the line.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Let's take this caller. Caller, you're live.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, good evening, Scott and madam.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
I have some issue. Can I discuss?
Yes, you can discuss your issue.
Yeah, just recently we started renovation of my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So we gave a contract to one of the carpenters.
Mm-hmm.
He came with his group.
Yes.
Tile, electrician.
Yeah.
And carpentering. And plumbing is, we got the my plumbing person.
Mm-hmm.
So once he wanted pay something almost 60% for the carpentry. We paid the money.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, this tile man, I don't know, he was drunken and coming to fix the tile.
Oh, not good.
So we fired him. And one, this electrician, he was telling he has 40 years of experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. He was ducking every time. Even though to fix the screws, so he will, I want to buy the screws, that's gone. He never show up. So he dragged the thing for almost 3 months.
3 months on a kitchen renovation?
No, still going on.
Wow.
Okay, so after that, he was not showing up for 2 weeks. He is telling coming this day. So we have to fight him too.
Yeah.
He got the money.
And he got, how much of the money did he get? All of it?
Almost 50%.
Almost 50%.
And this carpenter man, so yeah, this is a big story. So we got the high, we paid 60%.
Okay.
After paying the 60%, he came out and he mentioned that we got the deal. I didn't mention the wood. If you want to go this price, I have to use the brush material.
Mm-hmm.
If you want maple.
Go ahead. Continue.
The line seems to have dropped. I mean, she's still on, but we can't hear anything.
Caller, are you still there?
Oh.
Okay. If you can call back for us, please. It seems like we have a disconnection in the line.
Mm.
That's an unfortunate situation. Mm-hmm. When I first started 10 plus years ago in the space, I did kitchen renovations.
Mm-hmm.
It's if you know what you're doing, mm-hmm. you're in and out. Wonderful remodels, I've did a bunch of them.
Right.
But if you don't know what you're doing and don't have good subcontractors, it could be a nightmare. We got another caller. Let's see if it's a lady returning a call. Caller, you're live.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you're back. Okay.
You're back.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
The same lady. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Hello.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How did you find the individual? Were they recommended to you by someone who have used their service?
On Facebook, I saw him.
Oh, on Facebook.
Yeah, so just, I saw his work and I thought that he's doing good. So when he spoke, we spoke with him, so he was so sincere and everything. After he got that, he changed the material, so he demanded 2,000 more more. So we gave the 2,000 more, he got the 60%. And after he bought the some cabinets. So after that, he wanted to install and everything 90%.
Wow.
He's demanding.
Demanding. Let me ask
so
you.
So what can we do? So we gave the 90%. He did really, the work is so bad. The draws and everything is not even. And also the painting also not really good. They didn't spray properly. Just did one coat or something. And afterwards, he not shown up.
At all, no. And I imagine
so how can we deal these persons? We trusted three members. Three members did the same issue.
Same thing. Well, if they're, you know, birds of a feather usually flock together.
Consumer protection, maybe.
Yeah, I would recommend that you contact consumer protection and speak with one of the professionals there and give them the exact story that you're giving us and give them the contact information for the contractor, and they would help you get a remedy. That's what I would suggest.
So can I know the consumer, so any phone number, sir?
Consumer protection? I do not have the phone number.
Couldn't they call Donna in the morning?
Well, actually, she's not going to be in tomorrow. I'll tell you what. I do have one of the inspectors numbered consumer protection. You ready for the number?
Yes, sir.
The number is 604. This is the main line, actually. 604-9015. Yeah, 604-9015. And you call them and tell them to listen. Good morning. I'd like to share with you guys an experience what I had with a contractor who totally took advantage of our contract and did not deliver the service. They'll have an agent sit with you, speak with you, give you all the information, and you give them all the facts. And then they would reach out and find the contractor and try to have a remedy provided for you.
Right. They may not be able to do a complete, you know, getting everything back.
But they'll get a remedy for you.
But they have been very successful.
This is what I'm saying. There is no trust or anything.
No.
So if these guys doing like that, so how can they trust the person?
Yes, and it's unfortunate and terrible. But this is where we was talking about. You have to be careful. You go on Facebook. Everyone's going to make a nice, pretty profile on Facebook about the services
they
offer.
Just like a dating app. It's a picture of you.
Yeah, it's a picture, and they're going to make sure you love it, and it's going to look great. But you would not have known the experience you would have had.
Yeah, one request, sir, ma'am. So this, I think we need to deal these persons. I think we are losing so much money.
Very much money.
Money won't come freely for us, right? We work hard for the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's...
So they are just getting the money and just they're gone.
And it's terrible and unfortunate. Yeah. I'm so sorry to hear that.
They got the money and they left. That's it?
Yeah, and again, and this is an example of something that absolutely shouldn't have happened, and I'm sorry that it did, ma'am, because the only thing you could do is really choose the right people to come into your home and do professional work. Mm-hmm. And clearly, from what you're expressing to us, this individual, based on the work that you explained, it is not a professional and did not do a good service to you, and they shouldn't be in the industry putting themselves out this way.
I think these people get the license and everything, so
they can't have a license, ma'am. There are no licensed contractors in this country. The electrician might be licensed, but no, not the contractor. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to. We're trying to end up getting that to happen.
Yeah. Just I want to share my story.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
People are listening.
Thank you.
Yeah, and please call Consumer Protection in the morning. Please do.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
That's heartbreaking.
It is.
But it's we hear it all the time. We hear it every single week, and that's the heart wrenching part of this experience that we're trying to explain.
Yeah.
That it happens too often. It happens weekly, and it happens. throughout the length and breadth of the Bahamas, you know how much money we're talking about mm-hmm. has been lost to these things, and it's unfair.
And
it's
what
absolutely unfair.
Like you said, all right. So you're on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then you're going to say, well, I'd like to see some of your work. So they send you pictures.
They send you pictures.
You don't know if these are pictures of jobs they've done or pictures of just jobs that they've seen.
Their friend have done it. And then they'll say,
well, I want some names so that I can call. Well, it might be their cousin, their brother. You have no idea who you're calling. Yeah. Because most people, you assume everybody's going to be honest, but you really can't assume that, right? So that's why you get a person who's a good salesperson is able to swoon you and get you saying, this is going to be great.
But also, Debbie, you take a man or woman on face value. If you say you are a kitchen specialist, I'm going to believe that you're a kitchen specialist.
I'm a rose-colored glasses kind of guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe that. You're going to come into my house, totally defraud me.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't believe that that's really what you're going to do. No. But you know what? People do it.
Yes.
I've had the experience where I was doing a commercial building, and I didn't go to one of the big shops. I went to an individual who was just an upstart and say, you know, I could do the storefronts and what's not for this. And to this day, I see him all the time. I paid him the whole price. And to this day, the only thing I got was all the storefront frames. Never got the glass. And every time I see him, I say, you know what? If I were not such a decent man and didn't want to go in jail for any reason at this point in time, the story could be a lot different for you. But anyhow, you won on that one.
Right.
So it happens. It happens. Mm-hmm. The best thing you could do is really talk to people who've had multiple experiences with an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So, and sir, all experiences may not be perfect, right? Mm-hmm. That's the nature of business.
Mm-hmm.
But If you talk to someone and say, you know what, he did my kitchen, I like this. He had a little challenge with that, so maybe you talk to him about that and try to see if you can mitigate that.
Right.
But he did this person's kitchen. It was a great kitchen, no challenges. He did the other person's kitchen. The door handles were a little flimsy, so he may have to look at a different material for the door handles.
Mm-hmm.
Get a sense of what the person produces, their body of work. I often say, your body of work tells a whole lot about an individual as a contractor.
Well, even at our mix and mingle, I met somebody who does kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, my daughter does closets and all that kind of stuff, and she will do my kitchens and stuff like that, but she really doesn't like to do them.
No.
I'm just her mom. I'm her mom.
Yeah.
So, and one of our board members had done hers. So I said, you can't just tell me you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sent me pictures. And I said, well, that's great. But Robin, can I really come and see it? Because I want to see exactly how it's made.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see a picture. Mm-hmm. I want to pull up the drawer and I want to see exactly how he's put the drawer together.
Mm-hmm. The joinery and what's not.
Right. I want to see all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the work is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So it's somebody that I would actually use because a friend of mine right now in Cable Beach wants to redo her kitchen, and I wanted to recommend somebody that would do a great job and reliable and responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but there's no way I would just take a picture.
No, you have to check it out yourself. Now, I'll tell you, you know, I've had terrible experiences with millwork/kitchen supplies.
Oh, yes.
My personal experience has been terrible.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And you would think that.
Not this one I've got now.
I wouldn't have terrible experiences with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, listen, I've had two experiences with two townhouses where one guy had to call the police in for him to finish the kitchen. Because somehow, 2 months later, I'm still looking for the guy. I'm like, dude, okay, I'm going to call somebody. They will find you. Finish the kitchen. I'm telling you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I say, because if I make this call, it's going to cost you a lot more because you're going to have a lot of challenges with the legal fees, all kind of stuff, because you're going to be before the courts.
Right.
He came in, eventually finished it, turned out great.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided not to use this individual. I got it recommended from a friend of mine. The guy did his kitchen. Great. I went to his house. Kitchen looks great. I did like you. What he didn't tell me is the process to get it great.
Oh.
Oh, it looked great. I saw the great. He didn't tell you. So then when I started going to experience what he came in, like the lady said, and he said, he's done. I say, yeah, it can't be done. That's the first coat because I could actually see through this paint.
Mm-hmm.
So he came back again on my, you know, at my request, sprayed it again. I said, no, it kind of looks like we need to be done.
Yeah.
Okay, now the drawers. Base cabinets are in, uppers are in, no drawers and doors. 1 week, 2 week, 3 week. Okay, dude, where are the doors and drawers?
Right.
Brought the doors and drawers in sight. No hardware. I got to get some hardware. 1 week, two weeks, 3 weeks. Brought the hardware. Now the doors, drawers, and hardware on the site. No labor to install them. Then finally, doors, drawers, hardware, labor.
Yeah.
Some 7+ weeks in, I'm like, if my friend had told me the process, I wouldn't have gone with you.
No, right.
Did the product turn out good? Yes, it did.
Yeah.
The process is important.
But Ms. Money, if let's say you're doing a kitchen of your own that you're remodeling, that means your family has nowhere to have a kitchen. You end up having it on the porch. You put your barbecue there and a little fridge,
and you make do
until the kitchen's done, right? But they don't. It's more to it than just that.
Yeah. And persons need to be respectful of people's spaces. I tell people all the time, if they let you into a home renovation, which is intruding into someone's space, the best thing to do is get in
and out
and
quickly.
Get out.
You want to be friends at the end of the day.
Yes, get in and get out. I generally don't like rentals for that reason, because I don't want to be inside someone's home.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be inside your house, not in your home.
Right.
Your house is when you do a new construction. That's still a house. When you're sleeping there, that's your home.
Yeah.
That's generally not my space.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That's your space. You like that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I like that.
So. You know, these are the realities, and we're so appreciative for the lady who called to let the public know we're not making this stuff up.
No.
this is real. This happens all the time, and I wish other persons would have the courage to share your story. I mean, this is real. It happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie, it probably hasn't happened to you, but it's happened to me quite a few times because you take persons at the face value. They tell you they're good. They see their stuff. It's a photo of it. But the experience sometimes is not great.
Yeah.
And then I've had an experience where someone is a tile person in the industry doing tiling for many years, did a terrible job.
Mm-hmm.
Did a terrible job for me. And I'm like, you couldn't have just done this terrible job for me. This means you've done a terrible job for other people. How are you in the industry for 15 years?
See, what I would do
is crazy. If
I would meet, I remember back, I don't know, maybe 30-something years ago, meeting these, I needed a carpenter to do some vanities, doing a job in Lyford Key, and met these guys that said that they were carpenters and could do the cabinets and stuff. And I said, okay, well, I would never let them do the job first. They got to come do something in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they mess up at my house, I can take it out and redo it. Not that I want to, but I want to, and I want to see how they act in my house, and I want to see how they respect everything and that kind of stuff, right? And yeah, the work was not good.
So imagine if you hadn't taken that experience.
Right. So yes, I have had things like that happen.
Yeah.
But because I'm not going to take them and have them work at a job unless I'm overseeing it, watching the whole thing. And by the time you do that and spend 4 days watching over them, you couldn't possibly charge enough money to do that, right?
Yeah, that's the
problem.
But
you do it to make sure that it's right. You know, you've got to, I mean, when I lay my own tiles, I have a magnesium screed, and it's like a 10 or 12 footer because I want to make sure that they're level all the way and it's got the level on the top. I don't want to guess that it's level, you know?
No, I understand.
Yeah.
And so there's levels of professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
And this level of workmanship. And I think what we've lost in the industry, and I was talking about it with some individuals today, we need to bring up minimum standards. We need to ensure that people know, the craftsmen know, what is the minimum standard for things, and they adhere to them.
Mm-hmm.
We make too many assumptions that someone is going to build something plumbing level and going to do it right and going to paint it right. And all those need to be things we can consistently reinforce, ensure that there's value in training for those things so that it could be an expectation that we have those results that we look for.
Right. And oftentimes when you talk to somebody about training, well, if they can do it without training, why bother? So until the license comes up and the registration comes up, this is going to continue to happen.
Yeah, it's going to continue on.
Yes.
So we got another call. Yay. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you're live.
I called today to the Stark University and you, lady and gentlemen.
Yes, how are you doing, Berman?
You got me. Yeah, What I call to say, right? I will listen to you. So I was sitting down listening to you all, right? And when you mentioned the tiling, when you all mentioned the tiling,
mm-hmm.
what I've noticed, some restroom I go in, a lot of them all over the place. Man, when I walk on the tile, when I feel, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When I, you know, mm-hmm. check the tiles, not so much check, but mm-hmm. some kind of how.
You could feel it, yeah.
You can feel them. Yeah, you can feel them.
Something, you know, mm-hmm. pertaining to dealing with the tile and the soap and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My main point, people doesn't, a lot of people doesn't know how to grout.
No, properly.
No.
That's a big problem all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then grouting, there's a proper way to grouting technique, and you have to make sure that the surface is clean first before you grout. People think you just grout, then clean the tile. You have to clean first, then grout.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to make sure the grout joints are clear
right.
of any debris
right.
before you grout. And you need to take a razor and something and clear it all out. See, that's professionalism
in
tiling.
Because sometimes you get little teeny bits of the tile broken in the things. And yeah.
So, Raymond, that's a very good point. You know, people don't take the care and attention to do professional work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, the call dropped. But,
They need to look on YouTube.
but they need to have a reason to. And so to your point, Debbie, unless something compels you, like, I tell people all the time,
mm-hmm.
the only reason, and I'm just full disclosure, the only reason I have a driver's license, because I have to.
Mm-hmm.
I know to drive,
mm-hmm.
but I know the law requires me to have a driver's license.
Right. And you can always just ID.
you understand me? So,
I know.
So unless training becomes a requirement to having your license, maintaining your license, continuing to operate your business, people won't train.
They won't, because there's no need to.
And I go back to the point that Robin always makes.
Mm-hmm.
You think Robin likes to do training every year to maintain a license as an engineer? Probably not. Guess what she doesn't have? A choice. She's an engineer.
Yes.
To maintain your engineering certification,
they have
to do training.
Yes.
That's how I want construction to be. You know who benefits from that?
Mm-hmm.
The public.
They do.
Robin is getting, every time she do her PDU hours and mm-hmm. was not, additional information that she didn't know when she passed the exam 20 years
ago. Well, even doctors do the same thing.
And
they're always learning.
And people in compliance. And there's no bad thing with getting training all the time. So that's what we want to leave people with. Training is great mm-hmm. for every industry, especially construction.
Yes.
And the public is not getting the benefits
of
trained professionals providing services.
And it's not us that's holding it up.
Absolutely not us.
No, not us at all.
Are we?
It is? I can't believe it's 7:30.
It's 7:30. We can just sneak another call inside you.
Oh, yes.
Call you live. You got a minute, if only you got
you,
you got a minute to shoot something. Good evening. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Always a good show. I always listen.
Thank you.
And I even though I'm not in the construction industry.
That's fine. Go ahead. Are you there?
Oh.
Oh, we lost that one. We lost that one. All right. Well, we've had another great show, Debbie. Somehow we figured it out.
Nailed it again.
Thank you very much for all the calls we got. And yes, I know you're out there listening, and everyone has a story, because we feel construction is everyone's business. You live in a house, you go to a church, you go to a school,
grocery store,
you're in the government offices. They're all built
gasoline,
by contractors.
Everything.
Everything. There's no one who doesn't have a story about construction, so we invite you to be a part of the show.
Yes.
Call in. Give us your story, or give us your advice and recommendations. We're here to listen.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, next week, this has been another episode of Nail It on Guardian 96.9 FM.
Good night, Bahamas.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.